The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Steph O Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are thrilled to once again be joined by the wondrous, the magnificent, the fabulous Eves for a female first. Thank you, Eves, for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes, always, always are excited to have you on. How have you been, Eves? It feels like forever, even though I know it hasn't been.
I know, but weeks feel like years and the months feel like centuries at this point, so... time is all askew, but I've been doing well. I've been trying to be present in every moment for the most part. But yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I feel like I've been really busy. And yesterday was like I literally had a moment where I thought a witch had put a curse on me. But today is going better.
Oh my gosh.
Things were falling off my ceiling. My internet wasn't working. It was a day, as they say. But I feel better now.
Maybe it was a counterbalance to having the perfect weekend, as you said. And it needed to rebalance itself. It's like, it can't be this good, y'all.
So what do you do when you think that a witch has put a curse on you? I would think that ostensibly, if you don't do anything about it, like, the curse may still be there.
Well, that sounds vaguely threatening, Eves.
I'm not saying that. I did it, or that I know who did it. I'm just saying, is there any measure you have in place to be able to get rid of a curse if you think that there's one there?
I'm so far just banking on hope, and nothing has fallen down yet today, and the internet's working, and that's it. But you're right. I'm going to have to reevaluate, later.
I ended up on witch TikTok, which is TikTok with the witches, and they talk about how you know if you're cursed and what you need to do. But it seems like unless you know exactly who cursed you and what origin of witchcraft they're from, you really can't do anything about it. So you better hope it was a white person's curse. That's what it seemed like. I'm like, oh, these Asian curses are really scary. So I'm gonna stay away from making Asian people really angry.
Also sounds kind of vaguely threatening.
I don't know it. I'm just saying. There seemed to be a whole deep dive and this tree of these are the types. And I'm like, oh my, oh my. Yeah.
In a second, Samantha and I are going to be like, let us tell you why we gathered us all here today. Annie.
Oh no. Well,
that's actually what I've been doing for the last month since I've seen you. Samantha and I have been getting together in private and planning how we would curse you.
Can't tell
the
all
truth
that.
Comes out. It was kind of hilarious in how many things just immediately back to back went wrong. But Well, I'm impressed. If it was you, you got my attention.
No, we didn't. I didn't. I can speak for myself.
It wasn't us.
Okay.
I don't know witchcraft. I only know what TikTok teaches me.
Oh, boy.
And it's not much.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it for now. How are you, Samantha?
Oh, me? I am here. I actually got cleaned up today because I realized since being in pandemic life that I kind of sludge around, I think, for the most part. Today I was like, you know what? Let's actually act like I'm going to work and take a shower and get cleaned up, maybe moisturize my face in time, take my medications in time, which I didn't actually, but all these things are like, so for today, I feel like it feels like a good start. So, and being here with y'all and having this long, I feel like we've talked for a while now and I love that. I love that we get to talk and catch up. So it feels like a good day.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. That is nice. That is something that I'm slowly working on too, because I've just, during the pandemic, have been like, I'll fix that later or I'll deal with that later. And now it's time to start dealing with some of the things I put off with forever.
Things have become urgent.
Maybe it's the aura in your house being like, hey, you've neglected these things, so we're just going to fall apart
long
on you.
And we know you're easily startled, so this will be fun.
It's true. I kind of wish we had a video of all these things and you yelling.
Oh my gosh. Depending on the music you played, it could have been like comedic or horrifying. I can't even describe it. It was wild. Moving on, I am excited for the person you brought for us to discuss today. Eves, who are we talking about?
So today we're talking about Nellie Crawford, who is also more famously known as Madame Sultawan. So Madame Sultawan is the name that I'll be using throughout this episode to refer to her. And she was the first Black American to be hired by a major movie producer on a continuing basis. And that was throughout Hollywood history. So she has a super, super long history and experience in Hollywood, but oftentimes she went uncredited in the movies that she was in. So there may even be more roles that she played throughout her life that we don't know about. And many of the roles that she did play were uncovered in different ways through different researchers' work. So super grateful to be able to know more about Madame Sultawan, and her story is really interesting. So I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fascinating one for sure.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So should we get started?
Yeah, let's. So there are discrepancies around some of the details of her early life, so around her birthday and her parents. But as far as we know, she was born on March 7th, 1873 in Louisville, Kentucky. Her father was named Silas Crawford Wan, and her mother was named Mary Kennedy. There are other names that her mother has been credited as having, but this is her mom's name that was on her death certificate. So her father was supposedly a traveling Hindu minister, but that's one of those things that there are discrepancies around. As we know in other episodes that we talked about on Female First, there is a lot of myth-making that the people who we're talking about themselves have created around their lives for different reasons. There were some sources that said Sultan Wan's father was of mixed race, like Indian or Hawaiian, but she is normally considered a Black American. The origin of that name, Sultan Wan, isn't completely clear. So just for people listening, they know that it's spelled Sultan. So there is some myth making around why exactly that was her name, why she chose to refer to herself in that way. If you go look at her listings and the places that she was credited, that is the name that is used. But it and the origin of her name, her skin color, and then that mystery around her heritage that we just talked about allowed her to access roles for a different range of ethnicities. So in terms of the work that her mother did, she did laundry for actresses, and Sultan Wan would help her mom deliver the laundry. So that put her in close proximity to the acting world. She would drop the laundry off at the stage door, and then she was allowed to stay and see the show. She saw actresses like Mary Anderson and Fanny Davenport, who will come up later in her story as well, and helping get some doors open. She would copy what the actors did at school, and she drew inspiration from what she saw and began desiring to become an actor herself. So as we see in so many of these people's stories, people's parents and the things that their parents got them into really encouraged them to go after what they wanted or just to have interest in these things. And this was the case in Sultan Wan's story. But at the same time, acting and dance lessons were costly and her mother couldn't really afford them. So the mayor of Louisville, James Whalen, offered her a part in a contest at Buckingham Theater. She was one of many Black girls who tried out to win a prize for being the best buck and wing dancer. So buck and wing dancing is just a type of dancing. It has like foot stomps, wide arm and leg movements, and other movements. So it will look familiar to a lot of us as it was an early form or kind of a precursor to tap dancing. Sultan Wan did end up winning the contest, and that earned her a granite dishpan and granite spoon, at least according to the book, The Negro Trailblazers of California. So after that point, her mother let her do stage work occasionally, and they eventually moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, so that they could move her entertainment career forward. So in Cincinnati, Sultan Wan worked at the Dime Museum, and she worked at theaters, and she eventually joined a company called the Three Black Cloaks. She did work under the moniker Creole Nail, and she gained a lot of acting experience in Cincinnati and started her own company, which was called the Black 400. That was a group that was made up of 16 performers and 12 musicians, and she toured with them throughout the Eastern United States. And then she formed another company called the Rare Back Minstrels. Through all the touring work that she did, she met Robert Reed Conley. The two of them had three sons, though there were some sources that claimed that they had more children. They ended up moving to Arcadia, California, but Conley is reported to have left the family only a few weeks after Sultan Wan had their third son. So that created a lot of financial economic challenges for her, as if it weren't already hard enough for her to find work. But she wanted to continue her acting career and she needed employment. So the Associated Charities of Los Angeles ended up being able to help her out. They got her family a place to stay in Los Angeles. And she ended up finding work at the Pier Theater in Venice, California, which wasn't the best paying, but it did help her get some bills paid. And it was hard finding acting work. She was denied opportunities and she wasn't making much progress and money in that field, but she continued pursuing her acting goals nonetheless. And this is where filmmaker D.W. Griffith comes into the picture. So there are different reports of her first meeting with Griffith. They swing from her being confident and presenting herself as this exotic and multi-ethnic person, kind of hamming up, you know, this is, I'm Madame Sultawan and these are all the things that I have, to reports of her being kind of self-deprecating and being more so on the begging side, saying, please, I really need this for my children, you know. Either way, he hired her pretty much immediately. And she is reported to have started out making $3 a day. She was first a maid for the white women actors who were employed at that fine arts film company. And if you hear that name, D.W. Griffith, it probably rings a bell. But most people probably know him for The Birth of a Nation. That was her first on-screen role, and she played a maid there. When The Birth of a Nation was first released, Black people in L.A. protested the film for its depictions of Black people and asked for the movie to be censored. And Sultawan's role in the story was that there was blowback who, for all of that, that was directed at Sultawan, as she was the only Black woman who acted in the film. And she was accused of instigating the protest, and she soon was let go from the studio. She fought back against this accusation and her dismissal. And the folks at the studio then backpedaled and said that a white actor had accused her of stealing a book. Anyway, she hired a lawyer and she wrote a letter to Griffith, and she was soon rehired as an actor rather than a maid. Eventually, she did get a contract with the studio, and this made her the first Black American woman to get a contract with a major movie studio. And she did stay close friends with Griffith, even with that conflict between the two of them. And of course, Griffith's controversial history himself and in his filmmaking and the racist work that he created. But according to sources, her children even called him Papa. That's how close they were. But nonetheless, from 1915 and into the 1930s, Sultawan appeared in many, many films. She started off in the silent era and was able to transition pretty well into the talkies era. She was in movies like Tarzan of the Apes in 1918, Uncle Tom's Cabin in 1927, and even King Kong in 1933. And in 1937, she played Tituba. So speaking of witchcraft and getting curses off of people, that is relevant to not only this one, she also had similar roles in other films as well. In the film Maid of Salem, she played Tituba, who was an enslaved woman who was accused of practicing witchcraft during the Salem witch trials. This was one of the roles that she got a little bit more attention for, but much of her work went largely unacknowledged, especially by mainstream media. There was more minor media and Black American media that did credit her roles in. Places like the New York Times also noted her work and talked about her as an actor, but in many of her roles, she remained uncredited. She played characters like servants, enslaved people, and cooks, and she often acted in these mammy archetypal roles. She appeared with actors who were popular at the time, like Lillian Gish, Dorothy DeVore, and Mae Marsh. And in her role, she was often depicted as subservient or immoral. So she was presented in sharp contrast to these white actors, kind of this person who was in the background or always to play second fiddle and subservient to the other people that she was acting in roles with. She did appear in movies into the 1940s, though not as many movies then as she did appear in previous decades. And she took some roles in the 1950s, but by then the work was starting to slow down. In terms of her personal life, she did marry again. She married a French man named Anton Eventhor. And in 1954, there was kind of a change in direction in terms of her acting work. She acted in a minor role that was also uncredited in Carmen Jones, which was a musical by Otto Preminger that featured a Black cast. And in that, she played Dorothy Dandridge's grandmother, which led to rumors that she was Dorothy Dandridge's grandmother, but that isn't true. She died on February 1st, 1959. And then after her death, there was a banquet to honor her. And she is buried at Valhalla Memorial Park Cemetery in LA. And she was honored in the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame by being inducted into it in 1986. So there is a long history. There's a lot that we can watch. There's a lot that we have to watch about her that is still left. And because her uncredited roles have now been attributed to her, you know, we can go back and look at some of those things and see the kind of work that she did and all the flourish that she had and the turbans that she wore and the braids and the appearances that she had, which is still cool.
Yeah. And I'm really interested in, as you said at the top, kind of the research that people had to do to find her in these uncredited roles, kind of piecing together, mm-hmm. and what else we might find.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is kind of a bittersweet thing, or like a blessing and a curse, not to be too on the nose. Uh-huh. Because it's like, yeah, we have history of her that we know about now, but then there are some things that still may be uncovered. But also there's this kind of layer of her being not visible in her actual roles. So she was written into the roles to be this invisible person, or this person who was more so as a prop in the work that she was doing, even if that wasn't always the case in her performances. And that surely wasn't the case for all of her things. Like the Titchipal role was a lot more prominent than some others were. But there at the same time, the work of those people uncovering also ties into that kind of similar, at the same time, her being super visible and playing so many different roles, and being also invisible in the way that the media didn't often recognize her work at all and the roles that she played themselves. So yeah, I'm grateful to all the people who did find these older sources and documents and reviews that mentioned her being in works and the scenes that were taken out of works that Sultan Juan was in.
Yes. Yes, as always. Thanks to all the people doing the research so that we can can talk about people.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Yeah, it was such a fascinating story. And I do love the myth-making aspect you discussed, Steve. That does come up in a lot of these. And as always, thanks to you for bringing these people to us. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I'm happy to. How beautiful is it to see how much myth-making is part of people's stories, to see that they have the imagination and the ability to, because I think future sight is something that is so difficult for people who are dealing with difficulties in the present moment. You know, speaking of being present, it's like when you're dealing with so much, you're dealing with children you have to take care of, dealing with racism, dealing with having parents who were enslaved at one point, and that history and the trauma that comes with that alone. And then being born into a world where you have to deal with your own difficulties and moving across the United States, trying to get into the entertainment field, entertainment being its own fraught thing. So the history of entertainment for Black people, you know, just her being on set with people who were white but were in blackface, who were playing these larger roles than she was, her being the person who was on the receiving end of all the ire around the protest for something that rightfully deserved protest, like the birth of a nation. So interesting how it was this kind of like, well, this is very related to things that we go through today, but free speech has, of course, always been an issue, but it being about free speech, but the people who are protesting it, you know, rightfully so, is just kind of this meta thing where there was an argument against, well, I have free speech, so I get to make this film. Yet when it's protested, all of that falls back on Sultawan, one person who just so happened to be in the line of crossfire, is a whole thing unto itself. But in the midst of her going through all of these things, she still had this kind of future sight to call herself Sultawan, something that ended up likely getting her a lot more roles or a different kind of role, or being able to have a wide range of roles. And I think that's I think it can be inspirational, or even if it's not inspirational, because that can feel a little bit dramatic, like it's something that is worthy of thinking about, because she was able to get so many different roles, and she was able to use this aura that she created around herself and this persona that she created for herself in her work through something like naming. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely something worth thinking about. And I know we've talked about this before. I still want to come back and do this, Eve, where we were talking about, like, you know, in the time of social media and having your privacy and all of those things of, like, is that kind of myth-making as easy to do today when there's all of this stuff? But I do think that because there is so much misinformation and disinformation, it's still possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting to kind of think about.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, I think that's an intense conversation, but yeah, we should revisit that.
Yes.
We have to keep lists.
Yeah,
we have so many things that we need to come back to.
I know. It's just interesting to think about, like, future Eves's, like, trying to research, like, us, for instance. Like,
yeah.
Piecing that kind of stuff together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yes, we would love to have you back to talk about that in the future. And yeah, thanks again, as always, Eve, for bringing this story to us.
You're welcome.
Yes, and where can the good listeners find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Not Apologizing. You can also find me on Twitter at Eve's Jeffcoat, or you can just go to evesjeffcoat.com. That is YVESJEFFCOAT.com, and you can get to all of the other things from there. You can also find me on many, many other episodes of Stuff Mom Never Told You, doing this Female First series on women in history who were pioneers, were trailblazing, and did some things first with a a lot of context around them.
Always appreciated and very much needed. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I do think we're coming up on a big milestone. I keep saying that, but I'm pretty sure. So we'll
do a
special.
Are we going to do champagne and cheesecake again?
I mean, we should. Well, in the meantime, thanks as always, Eves. Listeners, if you would like to find us, you can. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffI've Never Told You or on YouTube if that's where you would rather listen. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, and our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor extraordinaire, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health.